Going Linux episode 455, Ubuntu 24.04 and flavors so released.
Hook your cords in and take control. Say goodbye to the old routine. Linux is here, it's the future machine.
Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, you can email us at goinglinux@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, Ubuntu 24.04 and flavors released.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Larry. How are you today?
Okay, a little trouble on the change of distributions on my part for getting the recording started. But now that we've got that all fixed, it should go nice and smoothly.
Yeah, you sound good. Yeah, I had a little bit of an issue this morning, too, and I'm going to get into that. But well, I want to talk about some banter real quick. So,
okay, let's banter away.
Banter, you know, everybody's favorite. First, weather's nice. Okay, that's done. So,
yep, weather's nice here, too.
So, let me tell you how my Nix OS journey is going so far.
Good. Yes, I know we have a number of listeners who will be interested in this.
I am still thoroughly enjoying Nix. I'm kind of getting the hang of the philosophy. I at one time I said, I don't know if this would be right, but it's really, really, I'm really enjoying it. But I'm having an issue trying to get my NVIDIA card set up correctly in the config file, and I've went and looked and read the. And I you know I must be stupid, which you know that's a good possibility, but I'm trying to figure out how I need to put it into the configuration file. So if anybody has a hybrid laptop like I do, I have an Intel onboard, and then my NVIDIA is the discrete graphics. It works perfectly with everything, except I can't quite figure out how to get the NVIDIA card. So I've looked for examples with little luck. So if anybody happens to have something similar that I can look at so I can try to figure out this, how to get it correctly set up with my NVIDIA card, I'd be eternally grateful because I've read everything I can get my hand on, and sometimes the documentation is just not as good as I would hope. So but you know, that's like I said, but it also means that I could be stupid too, and hey, you know, it is user error. I've tried, but it just keeps throwing errors when I try to rebuild the Nix OS. So luckily, you know, I just it doesn't affect anything, but because it won't let me build with errors. So Nix OS is really going great. I like it. It works well. And it bailed me out of a situation that I'm getting ready to talk about now. Is my Arch Linux install died in the middle of talking to someone with on Discord. I don't know why it wouldn't. It just died, and I said, you know, and I was it just went kernel panic and stopped. And I had to hard boot, and then when I tried to get it, I had to hard restart. But when I tried to get it to boot back up, it wouldn't. It kept saying file system not found. I hadn't changed anything. So I quickly brought out the Nix OS laptop, plugged in, which I hadn't started in, you know, 3 weeks because I've been busy, and it booted right up, started, reconnected, and worked perfectly. And I'm like, thank you, Nix. So me and Arch have parted ways. It's a good system.
Really? Really?
Yeah. We have parted ways.
A mere little kernel panic was enough to take you right off of Arch completely.
Okay, hey, picking on me, but and seriously, I was having Arch is too much work for me. Okay, when I say that, it's like, you know, you have, if you want to enable the AUR, which I wanted to enable the AUR because I wanted to get a couple of the programs I've used that are, they're open source, that one was a AUR helper, but when I tried to, I followed the directions on the Arch Wiki and it still didn't work. It always, you know, something was always changed. Sat there and I worked through that. Then I started having issues with the NVIDIA card. Found it, and then, you know, so I was having problems with that, and it's like, it's just tiring. I want to be able to download a program. I mean, they have all these programs, but a lot of them are hidden behind the AUR. Like, I wanted a USB burner, you know, from, you know,
yeah,
so I could make a big boy USB.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Sorry. And
to make a USB stick. Yeah,
yeah. And couldn't get Rufus, couldn't get Etcher, couldn't get, I mean, it's like, it was like searching the internet. Okay, which one do you have? Because everything else is behind the AUR. And I know I could have done the DD and all that stuff, but that's not what a new user would want to do. And and I'm old. I don't want to do it. So finally pulled out the Ventoy and do Ubuntu Cinnamon and Ubuntu Budgie on it. Ended up staying with the Budgie because I liked what they did. It was really nice.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. All in all, Arch Linux is good for, I would say, people that want to be on cutting edge, bleeding edge, want to sit there and tinker with it nonstop. It's a good base if you want to learn, but sometimes you just want to get things done, and I don't really want to have to, you know, have to figure out how to install something so I can just get some work done, when I should be able to just download it and go. Windows users don't have to put up with that. You know, they need something, they download it, use it, go. Now, they also might get other stuff with it, but another payload.
Yeah, yeah. Or okay, they might have other things go wrong.
Yeah, but if you, yeah, but seriously, if they're getting a, you know, they have so many options, and they, you know, they, people don't care how. A new user doesn't care how everything is put together. They just want it to work.
Right. And
so that's what the first thing is. Once you get something to work well, then people say, "Whoa, this works well. Let me find out how it works." But it shouldn't be the other way around. So Arch Linux is not a new user distro at all. Manjaro and maybe an Endeavor. I would go with the Manjaro. I've looked at Endeavor, and I'm sure it's nice, but Manjaro, if you want to use Arch for a new user, I would still encourage you to use an Ubuntu base to get used to it, but if you want to use an Arch, go with Manjaro. Just go with Manjaro if you want to use Arch. But if you want to use, we'll talk about it, some of these, some of the new, or some of the Ubuntu, especially the new releases come out. I've got some suggestions for you. But one last thing. Canonical, you need to get your act together. You're killing me. So I installed the Audacity Snap, okay, and had nothing but issues with it. It would not let me record and use Discord at the same time. And then it also asks for certain, if you want to be able to use the audio system, for better recording, then you need to, you know, enable this, and it gives you what you need to do to enable it.
And this was on Ubuntu Budgie?
Yeah, it was a Snap.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So apparently they changed how the security levels work, but it still didn't work. So it was frustrating. So what I had to do just before the show, because I had just installed it last night and got the Audacity. I had a Bungie running, but I just didn't have Audacity installed. Is I went to Audacity's site and downloaded the app image, which works perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's the Snap was the older version of Audacity. I mean, by several generations. So if you go on, if you want, one of the reasons about the Snap was to, it was always up to date, right? Well, this is not up to date.
Yeah.
So
are you?
Yeah.
Have you checked to see if maybe there's an update to the repositories in Ubuntu Budgie? Because I don't see that issue on what I'm using right now. And it's Ubuntu based.
Huh.
Maybe it's just, you know, needs a refresh on the repository so that it gets the latest snaps in there. I'm thinking that may be the issue.
Okay.
I'm gonna go double check in the repository here. Software here, and I'm doing this on Ubuntu Cinnamon.
Yeah.
More on that in a few minutes. But let's see here. We want Audacity here. It shows installed. I've got the deb installed, but the Snap is available. Okay, there are two versions of the Snap available that I can see. One is 3.1.3.
Okay.
And there's a 3.2.4, which says that it's the latest Edge version of the Snap. So I think the last stable version is 3.1.3, which is different from the... Yeah, okay. So the deb version that I can see in the repository is actually 3.4.2.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that it actually is that the Snaps haven't been updated in the Snap Store. So, okay.
I opened my Audacity that I'm running the app image, and it says it's Audacity 3.5.1.
Okay, so you're even one more ahead of me, which is understandable.
But the Snap should not be that old.
You said that's a flat pack, right?
No, this is an app image.
Oh, app image. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right from their site.
Didn't hear you correctly. Got it.
Yeah.
All right, yep. And their app image, because they're doing that themselves, that'll be the latest version that they have.
I think it's kind of bizarre that it's that far behind. It should at least be
exactly, you know, yeah.
Yeah, so they want people to use Snaps, but I don't want to it cause problems. I mean, and if I didn't know what to look for, I'd still been trying to figure out why it wasn't working, because it was working fine on Arch, but they had the new version too. And when I was playing with Cinnamon, because I did install it on one of my other machines, and I always download Audacity. I just wanted to see if it was going to default to Snap. And I think, if I remember correctly, Cinnamon had the newer version. So it's not.
But that's you're talking about Ubuntu Cinnamon now, not
Ubuntu Cinnamon.
So I have Ubuntu Cinnamon. What I just shared with you was from Ubuntu Cinnamon.
Okay.
And it by default installed the deb.
Okay.
Which was 3.4 version, which also has that newer audio setup, but it probably doesn't have all the latest features that are in the app image.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's not that it's a big deal, but if you want people to use your Snaps or flat packs, you need to keep them up to date. That was one of the big selling points, is they're always up to date. And that is definitely not. I just wonder. I wonder what the flat pack version. I won't worry about that right now. But
I didn't see it in the software store, the flat pack version. I remember it being there. Well, maybe I'm misremembering that. But
anyway.
I'm using the deb. I'm using whatever works.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is if you have someone new who hasn't played with Audacity for as long as we have, they might have difficulty trying to figure this out. I mean, I just went to the one that works. Anyway, enough bashing Audacity. Audacity is a great tool, but I don't think it's their fault. I don't know who is it. maybe is it a developer at Audacity who is responsible for updating, or is it supposed to be pushed by the Canonical, the updates?
Well, it has to make it through the Canonical vetting process either way. So I don't know whether it's Audacity creating the snaps or whether it's Canonical creating the snaps, but one way or another, it's always going to be a little bit behind the app image, quite frankly. It'll either be lagging a little bit, or they might catch up for a short period of time before the next release comes out.
Yeah, but that one's Audacity, like two or three versions behind. So anyway.
Yeah, that seems really weird.
But anyway, let's not harp on the negative. Budgie, I want to say Bungie so bad, but it's Budgie. Bungie used to be the game, me being the gamer, I played a lot of their games. So anyway, Budgie's been really great. It's beautiful. And I'll talk about some of the cool things that I liked when I did the install. But so today, I wanted to go over all the new releases of the Ubuntu 24.04. And all the flavors of Ubuntu also, since we were already talking about some of them. Since this is going to be an LTS release, I thought it would be good to go see what's on offer. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. I don't know whether we're actually going to cover all of the Ubuntu flavors.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we'll cover as many as we...
We'll cover. I'm sure I'm going to miss one in this article. But these are the main ones that come to my mind and on the list that I know people use actively. So I'm going to start with Ubuntu 24.04. And its cool name is Noble Dumbat. And when I first read it, my mind being what it is, says, Noble Dingbat, but no, it's Numbat.
Numbat, yes. Okay.
And I included a linked picture of the little guy. He's kind of cute. Larry, can I have one?
Yeah.
Can I have one?
Yeah, sure.
Australia might not like that. It's an endangered species, so I don't think they're going to let me take it out of the country.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I hadn't done enough reading on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I went down the wiki rabbit hole and it was like, that thing's cute. Let me see what about it. And then I realized it's endangered, but I want it. Okay. My Dotson might not like
cute.
It. But
okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so Ubuntu 24.04. Let's see what's new first. So it has a new desktop installer with support for auto install. And it's, I believe it's written in Flutter, if I remember correctly. And the other auto install is pretty neat if you are installing a bunch of computers and you need the same thing. I think you would use a YAML file with all the configuration settings. So it's a pretty cool idea. You can just go right down the line. So that was kind of cool. They have a new App Center and firmware updater applications. So I think they finally separated those out. So that's always good, because that's one of the things that always bothers me with like Pop OS, their software center and their updaters all built in together, and sometimes they get a little wonky, but that's a great idea. It uses GNOME 46 with support for quarter screen tiling, whatever that means. So it has the latest GNOME.
Yeah, that just means that you can, through a keyboard shortcut that on some Ubuntu flavors you have to set up yourself, on some others it's there automatically, depending on what the desktop environment is. Mm-hmm. But what quarter screen tiling is through a keyboard shortcut, you can put a window, whatever window you have active, in the top left, top right, bottom left, bottom right corner.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's taking up a quarter of the screen. So hence
that's awesome. That's a good idea. So it also has advanced Active Directory group support, object support for Ubuntu Pro users. Okay, that's great. We'll continue on with that. Experimental support for TPM-backed full disk encryption and ZFS encryption. I actually, when I was testing out Cinnamon, used that, and it worked fine. So my computer has a TPM chip in it, which is not usually used for anything because it's not Windows. You know, that's that chip that Microsoft's trying to saying, well, since yours doesn't have the 2.0 or whatever it is, you can't install Windows 11. So yeah. That's kind of how it's that chip that uses part of the encryption. So that's about the high level as much as I understand. I know there's other things going on. And then, of course, it has experimental support for ZFS and just regular ZFF encryption. And I've used that too, and it works great. My Bungie install is just using the ZFS, and it works really, really well. I think, I don't know why they still got marked as experimental, but it's working great. So it's pretty cool stuff, ZFS encryption. I am also using it, and it works great, so I can't really complain. The new installer is fantastic. I know this one's written in, it is written in Flutter, so I misspoke. Yep, it is written in Flutter. And I did I included the link to the deep dive on what they've added to, or what they've changed for 2404. And if you're interested, it's in the show notes. And so you can kind of just see there's a lot more they've done, but these are just like the highlights. But I thought the ZFS file system it's been nice having it, or as our friends over at Pond called ZFS.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that name better, but that's just me.
Well, that's the proper English way of saying.
Well,
it.
Well, yeah, you know, we us Americans mess things up all the time, but I like ZFS, and you know, it's kind of funny is when you say it, they look at you, know, what's ZFS? It's ZFS. So yeah. Anyway, Larry, would you be so kind just and go over the system requirements for this?
Okay. And again, these are the system requirements for the GNOME version of Ubuntu, the version that all of the other flavors are based on. So for the most part, this actually applies to most of the flavors as well. So you need a 2 gigahertz dual core processor or better. You also need 4 gigabytes of system memory. A minimum of 25 gigabytes of free hard drive space, which is, I think, 5 gigabytes more than you needed in the previous version.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think. Anyway, you also require either a USB port or a DVD drive. That's for the installer to work. You know, you have to be able to install it. Then, of course, you need internet access. Not absolutely required to get the installation done, but it is helpful because the installer allows you optionally to download the updates as you're doing the install. So it just saves a little bit of time there. Of course, if you don't have internet access when you are trying to install this at first, that's okay. It'll install. You can then go to your Wi-Fi, enable that if you have Wi-Fi, or plug in your cable if you just have Ethernet, and then you can download the updates once you've got the installation completed.
A couple things I noticed. If you're in a place that you don't have internet access, because not everybody in the world has internet access,
right?
Being able to install a system and you start using it, because you know it's going to work. if the video card, you know, you might not be at the highest resolution, but it'll, you know, for the most part, you'll have the basic runnings. You can, you know, do your work and stuff like that. You know, letters and stuff, reports, reading files, whatever. So it's kind of nice that you don't have to activate the darn thing because you don't have internet access. So yeah, it's kind of nice that you don't have to set up any accounts. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You can install it and start using it. Now, I might be getting old, and this is a possibility here, but I thought the only thing that really changed, but now that you mentioned the hard drive space was like 5 gigabytes more, wasn't the system memory. I thought it was two. Has it always been four?
No, it hasn't always been four. I don't remember when they updated that, whether it was this release or the release before.
Oh, okay.
It's been a long time since I only had 2 gigabytes of memory on a computer. So what I did notice, though, is if you're testing it out in the Virtual Machine Manager, for example, it automatically identifies the version.
Okay.
Even though 24.04 is brand new. They've updated that to take advantage of the fact that it's a new release already for Virtual Machine Manager.
Oh, wow.
And when you do that, it automatically sets the memory to 4 gigabytes and the hard drive to 25 gigabytes. So, and it also sets the processor, of course, as well. But yeah, so they've there's been a lot of updates on this across other applications as well. And that's understandable since this is a long-term support release.
So I really don't think there's a lot of computers running with less than 4 gigabytes.
You'd be surprised.
Really? Most yeah, I run across are, have at least 8 gigabytes. But not, I mean, I guess. But I mean, even my old 16-year-old machine over here has 4. So...
Yeah, absolutely. You can get them with 2, but it's hard to find them
if you're
buying one, unless you're buying a really old one from somebody or eBay or something.
So it, probably 4 gigabytes. You know, it's not nothing's 100%, but that's probably what you're going to find out find in most computers nowadays.
Absolutely.
So, like as you said, that if your machine can meet these requirements, which are very modest in my opinion, considering some of the requirements for what Windows 11 wants, you should be able to run any of the flavors without any problems, and probably some of the lighter weight ones like Ubuntu and Xubuntu will probably even run on lighter, but you can use this the general guidelines with what the base Ubuntu 24.04 uses.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's move on then to our next flavor. Ubuntu Mate 24.04. This is has been our favorite for people who are starting off with Linux because it gives you a lot of flexibility around the user interface without actually having to install a new desktop environment. You can make switches to take a look at how things look differently through just some clicks, and they use safe and sane defaults for applications and for the settings for the most part, and keep the settings pretty simple so that you aren't distracted by a lot of options. But at the same time, it still allows you to make changes as you need to make them in as much detail as you need to make them through additional optional setting applications and things like that. So it's been our highest recommendation for new Linux users. That may change in the future, but so far it's still recommended for the 24.04 release. So let's take a look at what's changed since 23.10, which was the interim release just prior to this. Okay, 24.04 ships with the latest stable Mate desktop environment, which is 1.26.2, and there are a number of bug fixes and minor improvements and associated components that the Mate desktop team has provided. They've integrated the new Ubuntu Desktop Bootstrap installer. So the latest installer, the one you mentioned, is based on Flutter. They've added GNOME firmware that replaces the firmware updater. Now, this is different from the software updater. There's an updater that simply goes and looks for updates on applications and the base level Ubuntu and updates there. But what the GNOME firmware and what the previous firmware updater does is it looks to see if your hardware has the latest firmware installed, and if it has an update available, it offers to install that for you as well. That includes the firmware for your PC itself.
That's so cool.
And it is very, very useful. I've used that in the past, the previous firmware updater. I haven't used the GNOME firmware updater. I'm kind of interested to see how that works. I've looked at it, and it does look a little bit different, but it still has the main features there that the firmware updater has, and it adds a few extras, so it's actually improved. They've also added an app center now. Ubuntu Mate was unique in that it had a software boutique, which was kind of a curated list of some of the most used, I want to say, software. But that's been replaced, probably because it's been a bit time-consuming to actually hand curate some of that software. So now Ubuntu Mate is also using the App Center, which the base Ubuntu has switched to, a new application that provides access to their repositories. It's called the App Center now. Ubuntu Mate is using that as well. And it's a new application that looks a little bit different, but performs the same function as the previous application installer. Okay, and last but not least is they've retired Ubuntu Mate Welcome. It used to be the first thing that came up after you installed and rebooted. The Ubuntu Mate Welcome gave you the option of making some settings right there, duplicating some of the things you might do in other places. So it was a little bit handy there. It was also a good introduction to Ubuntu Mate, but it's been retired. I'm sure you can probably find it in the repositories and install it if you really want it.
That kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how well it would work, quite frankly, because it relies on the software center.
I like the that if someone's using something at the very beginning, that the little wizard kind of say, here's your first steps.
I think Mint still has that, doesn't it?
I don't know. I haven't run Mint in a long time. But I know Budgie still has it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. And we'll talk about that, but it's nice. So I don't know why they retired it, but maybe they don't think that most people need it now. I mean, but that's just, I don't know if it was the time constraints or the different architectures or the way things are set up, but that's always been one of the things that we've said, hey, when you install Ubuntu Mate, it's going to walk you through the first steps. And now that's kind of not there.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I have some information on why that may be.
Okay.
And that comes through comments on the Ubuntu Mate community site. So Ubuntu Mate has a link after you go to their website that takes you to their community. And it's basically a forum where they have a number of topics to help people to answer questions, ask and answer questions, and discuss things. And what I've noted, I've been pretty active on that site, primarily because I like helping people, but also because I'm a member of the Ubuntu Mate development team. Not that I do development in terms of writing code, but I do documentation. As you know, I write books on Ubuntu Mate, and I also provide the onboard help in Ubuntu Mate, and I've also provided some updates previously for their website on features. So as a member of the documentation team, I shouldn't say development team, but the documentation team, I've been pretty active on the community site.
Your picture's up there.
Yes, but recently here's three comments. The middle one is from me, but the others are from other members of the community. The first one says, I am quickly becoming less enchanted with Mate due to a number of changes. The second one is mine. It says, I've noticed a bit of a slowdown lately, too, ever since Martin left Canonical. His focus on making Ubuntu Mate visible on social media really made a difference. And then after the release of 24.04, this comment came from a community member. It said, here's a reply I got from It's Foss. Ubuntu Mate 24.04 release has also been covered by It's Foss. And we have some articles on Mate customization. Although it seems like its development is stopping, 24.04 release almost didn't happen because WinPress is busy with other work. Regards, Abhishek, the co-founder of It's Foss. So I don't know whether it's accurate to say that development is stopping. Certainly, my comment that it has slowed down is accurate. And it may indeed be stopping because Abhishek may have actually spoken with some of the developers. But Martin WinPress originally was the creator of the community edition of Ubuntu Mate before it became an official release. Now that he has left Canonical, his focus is off of Ubuntu Mate for sure. And if Canonical continues to want to have Ubuntu Mate as an official flavor, I would think it would behoove the Ubuntu Mate development community to find a new leader for Ubuntu Mate if Martin WinPress does not want to continue in that role, which is, of course, his, you know, his option. And this is the nice thing about, well, it's a downside and an upside to community editions or community support or open source support for Linux distribution flavors is the fact that when the original developer and leader of the development decides not to continue for whatever reason, in this case, Martin got another job with another company, it's pretty straightforward for one of the community members to step up and take over the development or the lead development. That hasn't happened so far, and I think it hasn't happened with Ubuntu Mate, primarily because Martin hasn't said that he is stepping down. So let's just see what happens as time goes on. That is not a reflection on 24.04 or the quality of the work there. I think 24.04 is still a very well recommended flavor of Ubuntu for new users from us. And we'll wait to see what happens with Ubuntu Mate as we approach the next long-term support release, which, you know, is quite a ways off.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. But we'll see what happens in the development.
At least 3 years.
Yeah, there you go.
So if I can, you know, I heard Martin has been working on some NixOS stuff, and that's fine. I think he might be doing work for them or doing something related to them. But we got to remember that a lot of these developers and founders, they sometimes move on. They need to find jobs to support their families, and or they just need some a little break. Just to go show you, I mean, it did work. He might not have been as active as usual. It might have slowed down, but 24.04 Ubuntu Mate did get released, and it looks pretty good. So this kind of brings me to something that that kind of led to the problem with that. The exploit of the XZ was that developers get burned out. They need, you know, they're people too. So my thing is, you know, if we can help whatever in any way, like Ubuntu Mate has a page for their funding, and they tell you what they use the funding for. As always, you can use it at no cost. They're never going to ask, you're never going to get a pop-up saying we need money from you or you need to do this. But if you have a little bit extra, throw it their way because you're using software that they worked on most of the times out of their own time, out of their own pocket, let them know that you appreciate it. It doesn't always have to be money. It can be other ways, but, buy them a cup of coffee, throw them a $4 tip, whatever. They're humans too. And, maybe that they can buy them a pizza, or they can use it for something that, when they're traveling to these Linux fests, you never know what they're taking out of their own pockets. So, or the time is money. So if they're working on this and not getting paid, if they help you out, maybe throw them a little jingle their way. And if you can help them, I'm sure they will really appreciate it. But like I said, if you don't have it, they're never going to ask you to give them money. but maybe you can help out by answering questions in their forums or helping somebody else that might have had the same problem that you did. So, yeah, any way you can help take a little bit of the stress off the developers. And that also includes, reporting bugs. That comes in handy.
Yes, exactly.
So just wanted to throw it out there. We need to support our open source projects.
And most of what you just said can apply to any Linux distribution or any flavor of Ubuntu.
Oh, yeah. They all have funding pages.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just not necessarily the funding, but maybe the actual physical help is something that the Ubuntu Mate community could use right now.
Yeah. So, because Martin's worked a long time on that.
Yes, and he originally developed it for one of his family members and put a lot of love into it. I'm sad to see that his focus has shifted, but we'll see what happens in the upcoming near future. So let's move on, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, so our next flavor is Ubuntu Cinnamon 24.04. And Cinnamon is a desktop environment developed by the Linux Mint community. And that particular flavor of Ubuntu, Linux Mint, is not one of the ones that is upgraded to 24.04, so we're not covering it here. And the reason for that is it's very much a different branch, and they have decided to go on their own release schedule and do things their own way, including this desktop environment, Cinnamon. But they have made it available to the broader community. And so Ubuntu Cinnamon was actually a community edition as opposed to an official flavor. The 23.10 version was made an official flavor, but it was an interim release. So this is the first Ubuntu Cinnamon official flavor that is a long-term support release. It's 24.04. So it's kind of a notable version in and of itself. So it is also a noble numbat.
I love that name.
Yeah. It's long-term support, and it'll be supported for 3 years. The release features Cinnamon 6.0, which is the latest version of Cinnamon, and the new Flutter-based installer in the live image. And here are the changes that are specific to Ubuntu Cinnamon for this release in a little more detail, excluding things like bug fixes and behind-the-scene things, which you can get from the Ubuntu release notes. But this is just the main parts of this. So for the desktop, the sound applet now displays the labels for the artist song names. The new menu editor window can now be resized. The desktop backgrounds can now accept the AVIF file formats. The ability to download Nemo actions with other spices is also enabled. And Ubuntu Cinnamon has now experimental support for Wayland, which is the new direction for everything going forward. And there are other minor fixes, of course. Another notable change is the screensaver. The screensaver is disabled in the Wayland sessions, and otherwise they have just provided some stability fixes in the screensaver. I always turn screensavers off anyway. And Nemo, which is the file manager in Cinnamon, has had some various fixes as well on style and memory leaks and various other things that you'd like to see for updates. There's also Window Manager update. Muffin is the window manager in...
I love that name. Muffin. I mean, I don't know why I like it so much. Every time I hear it, I just think of a big muffin. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Food.
That's all right. The main change there is it's got experimental support for Wayland, and the live image now uses the Flutter-based installer, as do most, if not all, of the flavors. So that's it. We'll have links to Ubuntu Cinnamon for you to download, as well as the release notes in the show notes. What do you think?
I like it. It looks good. I did install on one of my other machines, and it was kind of nice. It was definitely an improvement over when I first tried to get it to work. Remember all the little niggly paper cuts and bugs and stuff? They've worked really hard on it. But I didn't know what the AVIF file format was. I had to go look it up.
Well, quite frankly, I don't know myself, so I haven't looked it up. Can you tell us what it is?
The AVIF image file format is an open, royalty-free image file format specification for storing images or image sequences compressed with AV1 in an HEIF container format. It's designed to be a replacement for JPEG, PNG, and WebP formats, basically. It offers better compression and a wider set of features. And it's been developed by the Alliance of Open Media, and it was first released in February 2019. So one of the cool things about the AVIF is that it can store both image items and image sequences and are conformant with the HEIF format. Don't know what that is, but apparently it's a good thing. The format is designed to be widely supported and has been adopted by several major browsers, including Chrome, Opera, Firefox, and Safari. And you can also use the files on a variety of applications, including web graphics, social media, and digital photography. So it's really a cool upgrade, I would say, to the JPEG and PNG. So it's nice that it actually has support. And it looks like it's not that old, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the way that this will apply to the average user is your desktop backgrounds can now be animated.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Format.
I want that so bad.
So I do. There you go.
I do. I saw that the Windows used to have a program that would let you do that on your back, but it was so resource intensive that back in the day, computers were like, stop it.
Yeah, I can't do anything else. I can't do this to your Excel spreadsheet while you're running an animated Windows background.
But now with such powerful cards and stuff, I would love to have an animated background just because I'm weird. But
I don't think you're that weird. That may be something that I look at.
Okay, so before we get off Cinnamon, Cinnamon's made lots of leaps and bounds. I can now recommend this for a new user. I think the 2404 is another one that we can say, it was Convin saying, if you're comfortable with more of a Windows-esque type interface, then Cinnamon, it would be a good pick for you.
Yeah.
But anyway, the next one is my current daily driver, it's Ubuntu Budgie, if you hadn't figured that one out already. And it's another community flavor of Ubuntu, and they have really impressed me with how nice looking their distribution is. This flavor of Ubuntu will be supported for 3 years. The 24.04 is, of course, the long-term support release, and it's supported until April 2027. So it's 2024 to April 2024 to April 2027. So in 3 years, I'm sure it'll be time to... get to see what the new release has. So another cool feature is the browser ballot. I did not see that in Ubuntu Cinnamon or Mate, if I remember correctly.
Ballot is the name of the browser?
No. Ballot is the it's a browser ballot. You pick what browser you want installed.
Oh, I see. Okay. All okay. right.
So they used to, that Microsoft did something like that because they were forced to do it by the EU. So most for a while, all Linuxes did this where you could pick where you wanted Firefox. Usually Firefox was when it come up was already
default,
installed.
Yep.
But you could uninstall it and pick the browser you want. But what was really interesting about this is it had Microsoft Edge, which I didn't install. Google Chrome, Firefox, Firefox ESR, it had a GNOME browser, and it had Brave and Vivaldi. And you could pick which one you wanted. I went with the Brave because I liked the feature, but I've used Vivaldi. That was good. But I didn't install Chrome because I left Firefox. So I have Firefox and Brave, and they seem to work the best for me. Your mileage will vary. So that was really nice to have that.
Yeah.
I also was so impressed on how good this looked. I included a link to the Budgie gallery. They're showing the work on some of the applications and the background stuff, and it just blew me away. They also have a donation page, which we've already covered. So if you use it and you like it, it's a relatively small team, so I'm sure they're operating on caffeine and pizza, so hey, help them out if you can.
Yep.
I also included their Budgie release notes, Budgie release notes, because they list a lot of other good stuff that they've done. I've really, really enjoyed my time with them. Everything worked wonderful. It's a beautiful desktop. I liked it so much, I just couldn't take it off my machine. It's so good. I can highly recommend this for a new user, and I would, without a doubt. But you know what's funny is Cinnamon is more Windows-esque, but the way Budgie is set up, it reminds me more of a Mac interface, but not a Mac interface. You can change it, but I find that how they have it set up is, you know, they have a little bar at the bottom, but for a launcher, which I use all the time, and you can drop and okay. customize it. But you also have the little menu up on the left hand corner with the little cute little bird. And that's what a Budgie is. I didn't know until recently. It's a bird, and it's a cute bird. So what with the animal themes, but I fell in love with this. They've done a wonderful job on it, and you know, Cinnamon has too. But for some way, this one kind of ticked all the boxes for me. It also had the that walkthrough of your first steps. And what was really cool about this, I really appreciated it. It went through, you did the browser ballot, then it lets you install Flatpak support by just clicking the button. Do you want Flatpak support? Yeah, click this button. Boom. You did it. It did all the work behind it. So now it also has snaps and Flatpaks. And you don't have to okay. do anything else. So that was nice. And they also have something I used that I thought was absolutely fabulous. Click right below it. It was click here to integrate Dropbox into your system, which I clicked the button and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It was done. So I was like, this is some good stuff. It made things really easy. Of course, I told it to install the updates while I was setting it up. So it did that before. But right below that, it says there's some more codecs and stuff that, you know, we can't install by default unless you click here. You know, there's some of the more proprietary protect ones they can't send out to everybody. You know, you have to actually choose to install it. So it was like, click, done. So it basically set up everything by click, click, click. Everything's running. It was run through some basics, and I was up and running, and it was the most user-friendly one I've seen in a long time. And I don't know what's your opinion of the new Flutter installer for all of them, because I know Cinnamon had it too. I think it's beautiful. I think it's one of the best yeah. experiences I've seen.
It is. It is simpler and easier to follow than
the previous installer, mm-hmm. and it looks great.
It does. It's really a good job. I thought that that's the way the installer should always have worked. It worked so well. It looks better than Windows.
It does.
I mean, I'm not bashing Windows. I'm just saying everybody said, well, Windows is easy to install. Well, this one was the easiest thing I've ever done. It seemed like it was very fast. I think I went from putting the USB stick in to being fully operational in less than 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And be fully updated with everything downloaded. So, yes, there was a little problem with the snap, but it was real easy to fix. It's not Budgie's fault. I just want to say,
yeah,
great job for the two that I've seen the most improvements, because I've looked at Budgie before, is Cinnamon looks great. Because I remember when we first started looking at it, you said, we can't really recommend this. It's still got too many bugs. To where it is now, which looks good. And then Budgie just did a superior job. They've worked really hard. So
yeah,
I'm sorry I'm gushing on those two projects, but we've seen so much improvement by both of them. And of all the love that's been put into them, is like, it would be a shame not to let people know. You should go look at these.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, sorry, I will get off my gush.
Okay. So let's move on to Kubuntu. It is Ubuntu with the KDE desktop, if you hadn't guessed. The requirements are the same as Ubuntu, but it is supported for 3 years. And here's what's new in Kubuntu. They're using Plasma 5.27. Firefox 1.17 Snap is the default browser. KDE Gear 23.04. I'm not exactly sure what KDE Gear is.
That's why I put the link below it.
There you go. Okay. We'll put that link in the show notes. Then LibreOffice 24.2. KDE applications are updated to the latest 23.08.5 version of those KDE applications. And right now, they're not using the new Plasma 6. They're on Plasma 5.27. Is there more to say on that, Bill, on Plasma?
I think there is. So that's been bannered around that there's some KDE people that's saying, why isn't it using the new Plasma 6? And I think it's the timing of it is really, because you remember now, this is going to be released for 3 years support. So you don't want to put something that's might have some game-breaking bugs. So what they did is they erred on the side of caution and said, okay, we're going to put 5.27 Plasma in, and I've heard several ways. One, I've heard that they're going to release it as maybe a patch after they've made sure, like at a point release, like 24.04.1 or .2. And I've also heard that you just have to use Plasma 5.27 until the next LTS. But, with LTSs, they really focus on stability and things that are not going to break it. They pretty much know how Plasma 5 works, and they've worked a lot of the bugs out. But 6 was still new. I think if this had been an interim release, they would have probably thrown it in there. But since this is an LTS, they decided to be safe. And I kind of, it's kind of darned if you do and darned if you don't. There's some people be happy, some people that are not be happy. But I think they made a good decision by holding it back just to make sure it's stable, and I'm hoping that they'll release it during a point update, but I think that's why they did it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and backporting or releasing it as a patch is probably the way to go, given that it's not yet ready. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
So, Larry, our next one is Ubuntu of our next flavor, and it will be supported for 3 years. So this is The funny thing about Zubuntu, it always looks almost exactly the same with small little tweaks as it looks like the previous version, and I think that is by design. I found the highlights on their website, and basically it's a lot of back-end stuff. So the XFCE is in the 4.18 is included, and it's been well polished since its initial release in 2022. So there's still tweaking the XFCE interface. The Zubuntu Minimal is included as an officially supported sub-project. Okay, so I guess they're even more minimal than what it is.
Already minimal to begin with.
Yeah, it's pretty minimal to begin with. But then we have the GNOME software has been replaced by the Snap Store and GDebi. Then it had the Snap desktop integration is now included for an improved Snap package support. A firmware updater has been added to enable firmware updates, which we've already talked about. And then it says that it has a Linux vendor firmware service, or LVFS. I think that's for the pro users, maybe? But I'm not sure. So, moving on.
Yeah, I think LVFS is that previous version of the updater, firmware updater that Ubuntu Cinnamon and Ubuntu Mate were using.
Okay,
and
okay, that makes sense.
That new version is what's used elsewhere. It looks like XFCE has switched over to LVFS, which is a little, I mean, it's straightforward to use, but it's a little different.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, you know, like I said, since a lot of Ubuntu's released their Canonical's released that pro service, sometimes there's things that they've added that it's in the show notes. So sometimes I get a little confused with what they keep adding and taking back. So
yeah, which is one of the reasons we go through this.
I even need to go through it. So they also are distributing Thunderbird as a Snap package, and of course the old installer has been replaced by the Flutter based Ubuntu installer to help provide fast and user-friendly installation. That's the one we've been raving about, the new Flutter installer. And this is pretty cool. Pipewire and Wire Plumber are now included in XFCE, and it has improved hardware support for Bluetooth headphones, Larry, and touchpads. As you know, Bluetooth is a hit or miss a lot of times on Ubuntu. And it also says Color Emoji is now included and supported in Firefox. Okay.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. They actually put that in there, things that have changed. So, okay, must be pretty cool. The Thunderbird and newer GTK-based apps significantly improved screensaver integration and stability. So, basically, it's a lot of behind the scenes, but you know, I think the killer feature is going to be the color emojis.
Yes, there you go.
I'm being funny.
Some of these features, like that Pipewire update, are also available in some of the other flavors as well.
Okay.
And I think it doesn't get mentioned by them in their release notes, primarily because for them, there are more important things to describe than some plumbing for Bluetooth. But it was updated in Ubuntu Cinnamon, for example. That's where I first saw it, and it works quite well.
But Larry, when you're Zubuntu and your interface doesn't change that much from every... you got to put everything you can in there.
Pipewire and color emoji make top of the list.
Don't knock the color emojis, okay?
Okay, fair enough.
No, seriously, Zubuntu is basically, I think they really focus on keeping it exactly the same. So if you're like a grumpy old man like I am sometimes, that you just want the stuff to look the same and do the same, then Zubuntu is definitely one to look at. And it's also one of the latest ones out there, along with the next one we're going to talk about.
Yeah, the next one is Lubuntu. And before we get on to Lubuntu, I just have to say that Zubuntu is the flavor of Ubuntu to use if you don't like change.
That's funny. Okay.
Now, on to Lubuntu. It's our final one we're going to cover today, and here are some of the highlights. Lubuntu is, of course, an official flavor of Ubuntu, which uses the lightweight Qt desktop environment, or LXQT. The project's goal is to provide a lightweight yet functional Linux distribution based on rock-solid Ubuntu base. Lubuntu provides a simple but modern and powerful graphical user interface and comes with a wide variety of applications so you can browse, email, chat, play, and be productive. You can find the following major applications and toolkits installed by default in this release. So they've upgraded to LXQT 1.4.0, Qt 5.15.13, and they've included Mozilla Firefox as shipped in the snap package. The version presently on the ISO version is 125.0.2. LibreOffice 24.2.2, VLC 3.0.20, Featherpad 1.4.1, and Discover Software Center 5.27.11. So a few changes there.
Yeah.
Another lightweight flavor that neither one of us uses on a regular basis, but hey, it's a good one as well. And I've said Zubuntu is the one you want to use if you don't like change. Lubuntu is the one you want to use if you don't mind change and you want a lightweight distribution. It's good.
Yeah, and it's also fairly pretty. Hey, it's not as pretty as some of the others, but it is pretty because of the LXQT.
That's a sideways way of saying XFCE, because it doesn't change, may not necessarily be pretty.
No, it's not. It's people will tell you that they like XFCE, but it's not pretty. Now, you can do some things to make it a little prettier, but yeah, out of all these, it's not the prettiest. So
yeah, back to Lubuntu. Yeah,
back to Lubuntu. Lubuntu, I just noticed, because when we were talking about the current Mozilla Firefox, and why we go over this is, here's an example. In Kubuntu, they're shipping version 1.17 of Firefox. Mm-hmm. But Lubuntu is shipping a much newer version, 125.0.2. So that's why we go over some of these different, when they release them, like an LTS, is because not everyone ships the same versions of the software. So if it's important to you, we want you to know about it. But kind of segueing away from that, I want to mention this, because one of the things was everything was a snap. Everybody said they were trying to push snaps. Well, a lot of them, and remember, if you look in Cinnamon, you can go directly to repositories that don't have the snaps, or you can go to the one that the snap store, basically. So, mm-hmm. So you can pick which one. If you go to the one that this is going to offer you a snap every time, but if you go to the repositories, you can get this software from there. So they've kind of broken that up. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, in the software application that they provide, when you select an application to install, there's a little icon right below the install button that mm-hmm. allows you to switch between whatever versions are available. And if you have snaps enabled, which is enabled by default, it'll show the snaps and the deb files. And if you have the Flatpak installed, it'll show the Flatpak version there as well. It'll default to one of them, but you can pick whatever one you want. So yeah, from that perspective, they've separated them out, but they're all in the same application.
Let me look here, because I think mine is not like that.
Okay, so Cinnamon doesn't have the App Center.
Okay.
What Cinnamon has, Ubuntu Cinnamon we're talking about here, is the software application. I think it's, in fact, itself is a snap. Let me see if I can go to the About. Yeah, this is the GNOME software 46.
Okay. Yeah. So they've changed it a little bit. I mean, but I think it's basically, it gives you better control. If you don't want snaps, you can actually pick not to get a snap.
Right.
So they're trying to address the problem. For instance, the Discord I'm using right now is a snap, and it was the most current version. So, So not every snap is outdated, but we won't get into that again. But I just kind of wanted to point out they seem to have separated them out to make it a little easier to pick which one you want. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, if I could just mention this again, Larry, and then I think we're pretty much done, unless you have something, is if you're using open source programs, operating systems, please think about supporting them either with your time or if you can with a small donation. Open source projects do a lot of work on a very tight budget or no budget at all. Even the smallest contribution can help, and it does not have to be money. Your time to help test, help someone who is having a problem, translating, everything helps. Let's keep open source strong by getting out there and supporting it.
Hear, hear.
Okay. I'm done. I'm off the rant. I just, like I said, I keep seeing that discussion of having our devs and people that maintain our operating systems. Not all of these are getting paid. This is a passion that they've done. And they sometimes are taking money out of their own pocket to develop stuff that we use to get our work done. So if we can help mm-hmm. them in any way, and I'm not always saying it has to be a money, anything that takes a little work that helps them get something done, helps someone figure out how to use it, or money, helps. You know, just think of the way I look at it is we don't have a $1 billion company funding these developers. Some of them work right. for that company to be able to eat. But as a general rule, a lot of these open source projects are maintained as labors of love, and we need to make sure that we don't burn out our devs, because when we burn out the devs and people that keep things going, it's a detriment to us and a detriment to them. So let's let them know that we appreciate them. Okay.
Yes.
Off my soundbox. Sorry.
That's all right. I agree wholeheartedly, Bill. Well, I think that wraps up our review of Ubuntu 24.0 for flavor.
Yeah.
So there we go. There are probably others that we've missed.
Well, I didn't do the education one.
Don't hate on us for doing that. Yeah, I know, but we really don't use them on a regular basis or even look at them on a regular basis. So if you want that kind of review, you can go to their website and look at the release notes for their flavor, and they'll have the information that you need.
But I think these are the main ones.
Yeah, I think these are the most popular ones for sure.
Okay.
Okay, our next episode will be listener feedback. And until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We provide the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux podcast community on community.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.